Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast, our NHL trade deadline show preview. Yeah, preview. Friday night will be the deadline show, but Blake,
we might as well not even have a show on Friday. All their trades are going to be all done by then.
Oh, God, give me a break.
They're going to be all done.
That's okay. We'll start having a show, right?
Isn't it crazy, though, like, how, like, 10 years ago, like, there was all the moves were at the deadline, and like it seems like the last 3-4 years they're just getting done. They're like taking care of business for the deadline all of a sudden.
I think GMs are learning, like, through experience that, like, the deadline doesn't mean as much as it is thought to, and the GMs are getting out in front of it. And there's also a lot of cap restrictions, and these deals can't be done on a whim. You know, there's so much money switching hands.
Well, and I feel like this year, like, especially in the East, like, it's so tight. Like, everyone, like, say, so you saw, like, Boston make a move, and it's New Jersey's like, oh, shit. Like, hey, we got to make a move now. Now that's like a trickle-down effect. Toronto adds a couple guys, and everybody's like, Tampa makes a move. Like, all these East teams are just like, I think it's like, one-upping each other.
I disagree. I think it's more that they all had plans, and it takes a while for the plans to work. And I don't think any of these GMs are going to be knee-jerk and be like, hold, Tampa made a move, we got to make a move. You know,
you might get more aggressive to get something done, though.
Maybe. Good GMs won't, I don't think. I don't know. There's always a look at that. Long weekend. Yeah. I've been feeling like garbage, Blake, and for me to get through this hour here is going to be a push. And I hate it. I'm like the worst sick person. Like, I felt
just
it coming
a big
on.
Baby, eh?
I don't know. I felt it coming on Saturday, and I went to a junior hockey game Saturday night. Probably not in my best judgment.
Who'd they play?
It was a good game. Sold out, man.
Was it Bismarck?
Yeah, it was sold out. It was off the charts.
Is there any sticks throwing off Bismarck's bench? Water bottles, anything?
No.
Any stories?
Nah, a little fight at the end of the game. Nothing major.
Was it the Mesa was packed?
Sold out. Turned away people.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you let them stand?
You can only sell so many tickets. They had all standing rooms sold, too.
That's wicked.
Sold out. So, that being said, do you ever have those days or weekends where you just would consider them bad hockey weekends? I had one.
You didn't watch anything?
No, I had a bad hockey weekend. Every team I cheered for on Thursday.
They lost.
They all lost. Friday, they all lost. And Saturday, my one saving grace, the only team that won, was the Toros. Everybody else lost.
We cheer for shit teams.
Oh, it seems like it happens to me once a year, and I was 2-for-6 over the Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
That's tough. Oof. That's tough. That ain't ideal there, bud.
No, signs of spring. I saw some baseball games, and I wanted to talk to you about this because I know you're a baseball guy. I see they have a pitch clock now, and you can actually see it on the TV. I may be able to handle baseball this year.
It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. I hope the pitch clock isn't visible during the game.
No.
Because that's kind of distracting.
Nope, you got to have it.
No, I don't think it's going to be on that. I think that's just for spring training. But, like,
no.
Like, there was one instance where a game ended on a batter not being in the box. Like, good. That's what spring training's for, to learn these newer rules. The games are taking too long. They're taking 3.5, 4 hours. It's like 2.5 hours, all these games.
They're about 2 hours and 35 minutes right now. And I'm going to tell you something here, though. If baseball doesn't show that clock, they might as well get rid of the rule. You have to show the clock.
They're strict with it, though.
Just like the NHL referees were strict with hooking coming out of the thing, and it kind of went.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. You've got to show that clock.
I do like it though. Matt, 20 seconds when there's a guy on base, 15 seconds, nobody on. And if you're a batter, you got to be in the box ready to hit by 8 seconds. It's perfect. It's great. Speed the game up so much.
It is amazing. They made the bases bigger.
They banned the shift. There's going to be more base hits. There's going to be more stolen bases. It's going to be way more exciting to watch. And this might be the best thing they've ever done.
So don't F it up though. You have to show the TV audience. Yeah. The shot clock.
Yeah.
It'd be like the NBA.
I guess they do it in basketball.
You have to show it because then you have to stick to it.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe they won't physically show it, but like, you know how in like NBA, they got like the little timer by the scoreboard.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. Maybe you can put it there.
Yeah. And don't tell me it's distracting because the ads all over are distracting as hell.
That's true. But I'm happy. Like at first I was like, fuck, pitch clock. But now like you watch the product. It's awesome. It is
so perfect. Much better. And I only watched a little snippet the other night. It is that much better.
And whenever you can cut fat from a sport, like dead time, it's awesome. It's amazing.
So much better. Another thing that I wanted to talk to you about that we kind of touched base on a couple weeks ago on the show, and that was like growing the game. And me and you always had that argument, and you can't get it through your thick skull that down south, like not everybody can just pick up their hockey bag, which they don't have, and go to the hockey rink. So the NHL is starting a new street hockey initiative. Now, this is how you grow the game. You play street hockey on basketball courts down south, right? Ball hockey. Right. And they're going to start forming leagues throughout the U.S. and Canada, ball hockey leagues. It's a way to get sticks.
They've done that in Canada. CBC did it. It was called Play On, I think.
It's genius. Down south in the States.
No, it is.
It's going to get sticks in people's hands. They're going to be like, I play hockey now. I play ball hockey. And then they'll watch hockey. It's genius.
It's good. You got to start somewhere, dude.
If they could just figure out how to fix the TV bullshit, we'd be all right.
Yep.
How are things in Vancouver? You got goalies scoring on you now. That's good.
We actually have an NHL caliber goaltender in the crease tonight.
Yes, but you let in a goal from the goalie of the night. The Bruins' Linus Allmark scores on the Canucks.
We're not talking about that.
Did you have a goalie in net, Blake?
I actually didn't see it, so I can't comment on it.
Did you have a goalie in net?
We did not have a goalie. Oh,
okay.
Net.
Okay. Well, that makes
sense. It was an empty net, so you saw it. Stop fucking with me. I don't know. They're making some nice trades lately, though. I like it.
God. They made one trade for a no-name guy.
They acquired the former ninth overall pick in the 2018 draft. Never hurts to take a flyer on a young guy who's still 23.
The 2018 draft that hasn't panned out.
He's 23 years old. And he's a Russian, which they have a lot of. So there's some squamory there.
Let's go out and get that.
We'll see what he's got. They traded Riley Stillman today for a 19-year-old prospect. Oh. So and it never hurts to get some young guys in the organization.
Delusional Canucks fans.
Prospect systems ranked like 27th in the league. Never hurts to get a little younger.
Blake, you're shooting arrows at stars a long ways away.
Okay. Anyway, can we talk about trades, please?
Let's do it today on the show. Trade deadline preview. We'll talk about all the trades that have happened, the ones we think are going to happen. Talk a little bit about Friday, what that day is going to play out. Then we'll go around the league, talk about the playoff races heating up. Marchand's at it again. Berube speaks the truth. Spencer Knight heads for help, and GM Poole retires in Nashville. Jam-packed show with the Debate Hockey Podcast. All right, Blake. Yeah, let's get into the trades. A lot of trades have happened. And everybody's screaming, we aren't going to have any trades left for Friday. Well, I'm okay with that. I mean, it's just different now. Friday will be a fun day, and there's going to be, you know, teams adding things. And for God's sakes, are your Canucks going to move anybody here, or what are you guys waiting for?
Well, with the price that these D-men are going for, Shen's going to get two firsts at this trade, I think. So they're just waiting it out.
Yeah, I think they're waiting out going, oh my God, nobody's offering us anything now.
No, I don't know. They're kind of in a tough spot. I feel for Shen because, I mean, his wife is literally due on trade deadline day and he's in a tough spot. He wants to stay. Canucks have to trade him. His wife's due any minute. I feel for
Why
the
don't
guy,
they trade
they
him?
They have to trade him.
Are they just thinking they're going to get a lot more? Because I don't think they're going to get that.
I don't know. I really don't know his market. I know
there's a lot of D-man available.
I know that the Flames were interested. I don't know.
I mean, the Flames were interested, and it would be a good addition for the Flames if the Flames are going to make the playoffs. But they're not going to make the playoffs, so not really an addition.
Yeah, that loss to Colorado was. That
I mean,
tough.
They could still catch Seattle, but Seattle is the easiest schedule. We'll talk about that in the playoff races.
I mean, they're not completely out of it, no.
Let's talk trades. Washington Capital started it all off. Boston did. They acquired Dmitry Orlov and Garnet Hathaway for Craig Smith, a first round in 2023, a second in 2025, a third in 2024. Minnesota received Boston's fifth round pick in 2023 and retains 25% of Orlov's salary. Boston retains 50% of Orlov's salary. These trades are getting way too freaking complicated.
I told you this. It's going to be three-way deals. This is the new NHL, man. This is how we're going to have to operate with the flat cap.
Garnet Hathaway is a huge addition to this. He screams Boston Bruins.
Oh, yeah. Why did Calgary ever get rid of him? What trade was he in? Let me look that up.
There was a reason. No, he was claimed off waivers. He was not traded. I believe he was claimed off waivers.
Was he?
I believe he was claimed off waivers.
Yeah, claimed off waivers, and then he signed a four-year, $6 million deal with Washington. Yeah. That is a guy that he's a guy like Sammy Blais playoff gritty guy.
Not as physical as Sammy Blais.
He's not as physical, but he's not maybe as gifted of a scorer. But
he gets the job done though.
Yeah, he's a perfect bottom six guy he might be in the top six now with all these injuries they're getting, but
Orlov's going to be a good piece for the Bruins, but boy, you add in a guy like Hathaway, that just makes this team even more.
Well, that's back-to-back deadlines that they've went on and got top 4D. Last year they got Hampus Lindholm, and then this year they get Orlov. So, I mean, we are talking about if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Don't do a thing here. But this is a move they get help in the back end and they add a bottom six winger. It's probably the only move they're going to make, no?
I wouldn't
do any much else.
I don't know would do.
The long-term injury to Marchand potentially and Taylor Hall, that might change some things, but I'm not sure.
I don't know what else you do, do you? What else do you do?
Yeah, I know.
I don't think you do anything else.
Yeah.
Another big move, Nino Niederreiter heads to the Winnipeg Jets for a 2024 second round pick. And I thought this was a super value deal. Cause I believe Niederreiter has another.
Came out of left field.
He has another year on his contract too, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. Isn't it $6 million though?
I don't know. I don't.
He's getting paid to be a first line winger and he's producing a third line checker. I don't know.
I think this is bad though.
This kind of reminds me of
$4 million.
Okay. So this kind of reminds me when they traded for Kevin Hayes and Paul Stastny, that type of move. Yeah. But
You look at Winnipeg's depth and forward.
It's great. It stacks up among the league's best.
It really does, and I don't even hate their back end, to be honest with you. And no. I don't think they're done.
No.
I don't think they're done.
No, I don't think they're done at all.
Why does my gut tell me that Provorov's going to go there? I don't know why my gut. So? I don't know. My gut just tells me. My gut wasn't wrong on Timo Meier.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
Montreal gets Denis Gurianov from Dallas for Dadonov. And I laughed when I saw this move because I think Montreal got a pretty good player here.
Yeah, no, I mean, Dadonov, the Stars wanted a veteran to help him out in a playoff run. And I mean, Gurianov burst on the scene, right? In that COVID bubble, and he
was good.
Three overtime winners in the playoffs that one year on the way to the Stanley Cup final where they lost to Tampa Bay. Crazy that he's still only 24. It feels like he's been in the league for like 6 years. Montreal gets a young player back. I mean, it didn't cost much. Dadonov's a pending UFA. Like, I think it's a good buy here for Montreal. See what they got.
I'm not sure why Dallas does this move. I know Montreal did retain 50% of the salary. Well, Gurianov,
he was in the doghouse, so like he wasn't playing much at all. So they need a fresh start.
St. Louis Blues trade Ivan Barbashov to Vegas for Zach Dean, a young prospect center. Barbashev is a weird player. To me, I feel like he's a forgotten player. He's a physical player. You don't think of that he's that physical, but he is. Why do I feel like, though, he's going to get thrown in the washing machine and washed out and be history?
He might. That's the Vegas way, right? Yeah, like Zach Dean, it's an interesting guy. He played for Team Canada at the World Juniors. He's a Frenchie, but he plays hard. Like for a Quebec guy, he plays the game really. He's a physical guy and he's big and he's 6'3". So, like St. Louis just continues their teardown and they're rebuilding and they're getting younger. They have 3 first round picks this year. Like you have a lot of flexibility in a deep draft. You want to go get a guy, you have picks to move.
I've heard that they're in on the chicken thing. Elliot Friedman
talking about how they could trade for Timo Meier, but like, that's not probably happening now, but.
Well, it's not because he got traded already, so.
Yeah, I know. it kills to have picks. Like, those are valuable in a deep draft.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yes, they're valuable, but what did I see that Tampa Bay has one? Well, we're going to get to that. I keep jumping ahead today. What the hell's wrong with me? Jack Johnson
Chicago's got 3 first in the next 3 years. Like that's huge.
Jack Johnson heads to Colorado from Chicago. Andreas Engelund heads from Colorado to Chicago. Adding Jack Johnson to me is enormous for the Colorado
Islanders. Yeah, no, he was a big team guy last year. He was a big part of that cup run. Like he's not a guy that lights up the score sheet. He's just a depth defenseman.
He's everything.
He plays a steady game.
He's everything Edmonton needs.
Yeah, or Toronto, or whoever. Yeah. A lot of teams could have used Jack Johnson.
Yeah,
for that price, you know what I mean? I think he's making what, $1 million?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Crazy
though. How important those guys are in these key times in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The big one then happened as New Jersey gets. You got 5 minutes here while I read this off.
I'm not pronouncing any names here, so floor is all yours.
Oh my god. Timo Meier heads to New Jersey for Scott Harrington, the defenseman, Santeri Hadaka, Timur Bregmov. I think San Jose traded these guys because they can't say their names. And Zachary Emmon, the goalie, and a 2024 fifth-round pick. Heading to San Jose, Anders Johansson, a left wing. I'm not even saying this guy's. Couple of defensemen.
Fabian Zetterlund, that's an easy one.
Okay, he's a right wing. Tell me the two defensemen.
Shakir Mukhamadulin. Look that one up. That's how you say that. And Nikita Okachuk. They get a conditional first, a conditional second, and a 2024 seventh. The conditions are on those picks.
No,
the second,
there's a condition.
The
there's
second a... turns into a first if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals in the next 2 years, or they both play 50% of the games. So,
that's a lot of pieces.
I honestly think it's a it's a very underwhelming return for San Jose here. It's a lot of quantity. Sure.
They had to move him though.
But like,
they're not taking that.
If I'm a San Jose fan, man, like, you gotta at least get a top prospect back.
They did. They got a first round pick.
Like that Mooka Dumoulin, he's a big defenseman in the KHL. He's having a decent year. So I guess that could be one of the main pieces around, but like, I don't know, man. Like Timo Meier's he's a top 20 player in the NHL.
But he's expensive.
Yeah, he's expensive. But
you don't know you're going to be able to re-sign him. But look at San Jose as part of this. San Jose has no guarantee New Jersey has no guarantee they're going to be able to re-sign him.
Well, yeah, you just give him his 10 mil.
Yeah, but then he walks in a year.
I don't know.
Do you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean, though? That hurts the leverage. It really does.
Yeah, it does, for sure. Like, if I'm a Sharks fan, it would have been nice to get, like, a Dawson Mercer or something back, or Nemec, but that was never happening. Like, I don't...
Why would you do that?
Yeah, no, I'm just, like, thinking if I'm a Sharks fan, like, I'd be like, oh, like, maybe we can get this guy, but, I mean, they get a lot of quantity back. We'll see in a couple of years, 3 years down the road, like, what these guys turn out to be, but, I mean, let's talk about this Jeannot trade, because this blew my mind.
Tanner Jeannot heads to Tampa Bay for Cal Foote, a defenseman, a 23 fifth-round pick, a 23 fourth-round pick, a 23 third-round pick, a 24 second-round pick, and a 25 first-round pick. Do you know that Tampa Bay has one pick next year in the draft, the sixth-round pick?
Yeah, picks, they don't give a fuck about picks.
I think I might be hanging out with their scouts over at Tootsie's.
Yeah, they might not even show up to the draft.
No.
But, I mean, everyone's like, oh, Matsumura payment. Tampa Bay has a history of doing this. You go back to 2019, 2020. They trade a first-round pick for Gaudreau. They trade a first-round pick for Blake Coleman. They go on to win two Stanley Cups. So they have a very good track record of identifying guys that fit in their system. And Tanner Jeannot. He's got 14 points in whatever 56 games. Let's not forget, this guy had 24 goals as a rookie last year. He's tough. He had 40 plus points. He's huge on the ice. Like, he is a tough guy.
He is going to be a beast for them. He is exactly
like he's going to be on their third line. He's probably going to play with Corey Perry. Like this guy's got to be on a lot of guys' teams' list, no?
Well, for sure. I mean, I just don't think a lot of teams would give that up, but I think Tampa Bay looks at it as like, we got nothing to lose.
He's only making $800K. So, okay, they're probably going to lock him up long-term next summer. Like, this is a great trade. They gave up a lot of picks, yes, but...
gave up a ton.
That being said, I
can't believe that there's a 2025 first-round pick in this.
I love how it's top 10 protected. It's like, oh, hey, we might be shit in a couple of years. You got to protect
everybody, a lottery pick. Everybody does that, though, now.
No, I know. I mean, it's just funny.
Even, but, like, the freaking good teams this year, you know, lottery protected guys. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. This is a really good trade, though.
The last major trade we'll talk about, Toronto. Toronto acquires Jake McCabe, defenseman Sam Lafferty at center. Conditional 24 fifth rounder and a conditional 25 fifth rounder. Chicago gets Joey Anderson, a right wing. Pavel Gogolev, a left wing. A conditional 2025 first rounder. A 2026 second rounder. Chicago will retain 50% of McCabe's salary. The 2025 first round pick going to Chicago is top 10 protected.
Yeah. No, I think the reason why the first went back here is because you're eating 50% for the next 3 years, right? So that's kind of value wise, right? The Sam Lafferty, man, this is an underrated part of
the deal. That's the part of the deal that I chuckled, because
he's awesome to watch. Yeah. He is like, and what the Leafs are doing, right? They looked at the roster, the last three playoff runs. What was the glaring hole on this team? It was identity, right? You go and identify guys. You bring in O'Reilly, who is a gritty guy, knows what it takes to win. You bring in Achari, guy puts his balls on the line. Now you bring in a guy like Laffey who will just run you right through the boards. Like they're bringing in guys. Jake McCabe is an excellent, excellent ad for this team. He's nothing special. He's probably going to play in a bottom six role. He's only making $2 million for the next this year and then two more. So they got him for this year plus two more, like I said. And you had like this team is taking shape. Like this team is starting to come together here.
Well, they got tougher.
They got a lot tougher.
They got tougher, and that's what it's going to take.
That was a problem the last 2 years. They just got bowled over.
Look at the Rangers roster. Look at Boston's roster. Look at Tampa Bay's now.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get tougher.
Yeah. No, they're getting tougher. They're identifying what they need to do. I still think they're going to, I don't think they're done yet.
I do. I think
they're going to have to make a move. Somebody's got to go off the roster. Kerfoot or something's got to go.
Why?
They can't have Kerfoot playing on the fourth line making $3.5 million.
It doesn't matter. You're going to win a cup. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, I think. Like,
Blake,
I think,
listen to what you're just saying.
There was talks about him going to Vancouver for a pick for Shen. I don't know, but
you don't need that anymore. You got McCabe. Sure. Why?
Yeah.
You can't build a roster and look at your fourth line and be like, well, we're going to overpay him. You need to look at it as like, how do the puzzle pieces fit? Who gives a shit what they're making?
He's not a fourth line guy though. He can't play that heavy game. He's more of a skill type guy. He's not that physical. Like he doesn't fit.
Well, your whole fourth line doesn't have to be bruisers. You got to have a little bit of punch too, right?
Well, you look at their bottom six, there's not much skill. It's a lot of grit, right?
Grit wins cups. Look at the Pittsburgh Penguins bottom six.
I'm just saying though, like I don't think Kerfoot really fits in that bottom six.
Where do you want him then? If you put him in your top six, you're not very good.
I don't think he fits in with this roster anymore. I don't. I think he's out. I think he's
I'm going to tell you something. I got a feeling he might be a critical part to a run.
Yeah, maybe. Well. Define run. You got to get out of the first round and go on a run.
I'm thinking third. I'm thinking second or third.
I hate the Leafs, but I mean, I like this roster right now. I don't hate it. Listen. Dubas is putting his nuts on the table right now. He is. His job's on the line now. If they lose in the first round after trading two first and one deadline, his ass is gone. 100%.
Blake, we said that last year. You said, and I'm not ripping you because I said it too. You said the second they lose the first round, dude is history. Didn't happen, did it?
Yeah, they ran it right back, but you can't keep. What's the definition of insanity, Brad? You know it. Your boy Alan Walsh just said it.
Oh,
your
God, boy Alan come Walsh on.
Just
said
it. Blake. You can't just keep running. I'm just saying, you can't keep running back the same guys when you keep failing. You have to change something up.
So you're saying that last year Winnipeg should have sold off?
Well, no, but they drastically changed that team.
What did they change last year?
Or changed the room. They stripped Wheeler from the captaincy. You're telling me that didn't change the culture?
Blake, let's get serious here. This captaincy thing that this whole world talks about is such a freaking farce. But
that
put
the players on notice that we're not screwing around anymore. Bonus changed the way that team plays.
No, overnight. They got good goaltending. Some of their scorers decided to score.
Yes, but he changed the way they play. They're a lot more defensively sound. Yes or no? Yes. They play a lot harder than they did. Yes.
How do you define harder? You think those guys are like getting ready for the game playing? Well, I didn't play real hard last year. I'm going to play harder this year. No.
They're a way better forechecking team. They defend way better.
No, they don't. They're getting saves. They didn't get saves last year.
Okay.
It makes a world of difference.
They're just saying though, they're playing
Show me
harder.
A successful team that has goaltending above or below league average. Doesn't happen.
I'm not disagreeing.
I'm just, I just, I don't think, I mean, I think sometimes not doing something is the best thing, because you say, well, running it back doesn't work. Well, it does work sometimes. It's working this year in Toronto.
But it hasn't worked. They've lost they haven't won a round since 04. And they haven't won a round this whole core.
And they've,
it's been what,
they've
six
made,
years?
They've made changes.
This is year six.
They've made lots of changes. They've had a new goalie every single year.
But I'm saying though, like, if this core keeps losing the first round, like, how many times can you run it back?
I don't know. I think you're probably getting to the end here, aren't you?
Like, this is Matthews is about to be in year seven, and he hasn't won a round. You got to pay this guy next year, this summer.
Yeah.
Like,
that changes everything.
Fuck. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Let's talk about what's left of trades, and I'll ask some players, and you kind of discuss if they're going to get moved or what's going to happen. And the big one that everybody's talking about is Patrick Kane. And I'll tell you my thoughts first, and then you can tell me if you agree or disagree. I think we see this move go down on Thursday. Right now, the Rangers are doing every single thing they can, which is sending players down like Braden Schneider and everybody down to the minors. And I mean, they're just doing everything to save every bit of penny cap-wise they can. They put,
they traded Kravtsov to Vancouver to free up $1 million.
Decision to waivers. I mean, they've done every little thing you can do to try to salvage cap. And by Thursday, what reports are is that Thursday they'll have enough cap space, the trade will go through. Now, tons of people in Chicago.
I think the deal's done. I think the deal's
done. I think the return is going to be laughable. And there's a lot of, or on Twitter in Chicago, there's a lot of people already saying prepare to not be disappointed here, because the return is not going to be what you think.
Prepare to be disappointed.
Prepare to be disappointed. I mean, don't let the low return disappoint you, because that is all you're getting right now for a guy.
No, I mean,
like
the thing is here. Here's the thing. Patrick Kane has a full no move clause, and he wants to go to one team, and that's the New York Rangers. So the Blackhawks have absolutely zero leverage here. I think the thing that's holding up this part of the deal is the third team, whether that's Montreal, whether that's Vancouver, that's going to retain the 25% of Kane's salary to then ship him to the Rangers. Like, I don't know who the middleman's going to be. The two teams that were doing that was Montreal and Vancouver. So, I don't know.
You want to hear something crazy? You know, everybody's talked about through this last day. I've heard on every hockey talk show, everybody said, well, you know, Kane has all the leverage. So the Blackhawks have none. He said he'll only go to the Rangers. They have no leverage. So, you know, whatever they get is just what they get. And, you know, I said, that's, you know, it's funny because you got to be careful with that leverage, right? Because he's telling the Rangers right now the only team he wants to play for is the Rangers. Well, this dude needs a new contract next year.
Yeah.
The Rangers are going to be like, here's a number we're going to give you because the only place you want to play is in New York.
Yeah.
No, right? It might come back to haunt him a little bit.
Yeah, no. I agree with you. It's probably going to go down to the wire.
Jacob Chychrun, is he getting moved or not getting moved?
Honestly, unless a team gets super desperate and gives Arizona what they want, which I don't think is going to happen, I can't see this guy getting moved. I think this is like a draft day type trade.
We've been saying Jacob Chychrun's getting moved for like 2 years now.
Yeah.
Like, what's the deal here? What the hell is the holdup?
Oh, I mean,
if you have a used car for sale, right? And no one buys the son of a bitch in 2 years, I think your price is a little too high.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. Yeah, no, seriously.
Right? I mean, holy shit. I mean,
like I said, this Edmonton is mind-boggling. Would be crazy not to trade for him.
Oh, let's see. Luke Shannon, is he getting traded or not? Or what's going on?
He will. I think he's getting traded.
Where do you think he goes?
I think he's gonna go to Colorado.
I don't know if they need him.
I think Colorado could use another depth guy. They just got Jack Johnson, but I think they could use, like, McCarr's hurt. They need some insurance. And we don't know when McCarr's coming back. He has two concussions in 8 days. That ain't good.
No, that's not.
It's not good at all. Byram has concussion issues. Like, that's some serious stuff.
Yeah. James Van Riemsdyk in Philly is kind of waiting and wondering if he's going to get moved. And I've heard a lot of talk on this one, and then I've heard it also kind of quiet in the last couple of days. So I'm interested to see where he
his lands. $7 million price tag, like,
it's huge.
That's going to have to be a three-way deal.
I just don't know. What are you going to give for him?
Well, even if you retain half, like, who that? How many teams can afford $3.5 million right now? Let's go look.
Calgary can. I mean, there's a whole bunch now because they've acquired cap space over the season.
Let's see. Oh yeah, I get. There is a lot. Actually.
You know, there's more than you think. There's way more than you think. Man. I feel like this one's going to be a hard one. He's 33 years old. I feel like this is going to be a hard one. Shane Gostisbehere, does he get moved?
I don't know. Like, that's a guy that's kind of resurrected his career in Arizona a little bit.
Yeah.
So maybe he helps somebody's power play.
Brock Besser, does he get moved?
That's a tough one. It's going to be it's going to be a hard deal to move without retaining at least $1 million. If the Canucks retain $1 million to get a little bit more value back, I think they would look into that, but I don't know. I'm not sure.
Two more things I want to ask you about on the trade deadline, and we'll roll into some other league news, but, Erik Karlsson, does he get moved?
No.
I don't think he's getting moved either. You know,
San Jose's ass comes way, way down.
I saw a really interesting stat, and Cap Friendly had it out. It said most goals against while on the ice. Kulikov is the most in the NHL with 90. Karlsson,
that actually surprised me.
Karlsson's second at 89.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear some other news, though? Your Canucks.
No, JT Miller's on there. I don't want to hear it. Stop. Oh,
Tyler Myers, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, JT Miller.
Yeah, thanks. Two of the worst D in the league. Shocker.
Got a barrage of them.
I am just shocked.
But Tyler Myers' contract is good, you know?
They're both pylons.
Does anybody go out and get a goalie like Cam Talbot?
Oh, that interested me. They were saying Calgary could be interested.
They could.
Why? What?
How Why not?
Afford a goalie right now? Is he making like $5 million?
No, he's making 3.67. They can afford it.
Markstrom to the HL. Put them on waivers.
No, they just carry three goalies.
Oh,
it would be solely just to get into the playoffs. I mean, I don't know.
What would that even cost?
How about, not very much. How about Edmonton? Why do I feel like this is something that Edmonton should be walking around?
Talbot? With? They have Skinner.
Okay. Well, has Skinner been real good lately?
No, he hasn't been very good.
Okay. I was just wondering, do they want to win a cup or not? I don't know.
Yeah.
Is Friday busy or slow?
It's going to be super slow. I'm telling you, all the shit's going to be done. It's gonna be done. Sorry, my thing just came on down my mic here. Sorry about that.
Oh my gosh!
But
you think it's gonna be slow, huh?
Super. It's been slow for the last almost decade, man.
I don't know what you're comparing it to, though. So I don't know. We'll see. It could be a little bit more interesting than you think. We will be having a show Friday night, the Debate Hockey Podcast. Blake and I will break down everything going on Friday night, 9 o'clock Central Time. Let's go around the NHL. All right, a couple things to do. Let's look at the playoff standings right away. And it's decided to heat up a little bit. And it's been really good lately. And let's talk the East first, because that's a little bit more enticing. The three top qualifiers in the Metro and Atlantic, to me, are pretty much solidified. We're at 7 or 8 points from the wild card to the to a divisional spot. So I think the two wild cards are still up in the air right now. Currently, as we record, the Islanders sit with 69, Pittsburgh with 67. Buffalo, just one back, winners of three in a row, are sitting at 66 points, and they've been surging, and I believe they're winning again tonight. I believe they are beating Detroit. Did I see that? No, Ottawa is beating Detroit. Ottawa beat Detroit.
Yeah.
So Detroit's kind of hanging in there. They're 3 points back of a wild card spot. Florida's 3 points back. Washington's 3 points back. And Ottawa only 5 points back, which is mind-boggling. And they are playing good. They're 6-3-1, winners of two straight. I don't know. They're doing all right. The three teams out of it are Philly, Montreal, and Columbus. And just about a month ago, I said that there was a whole lot more teams out of it. And Ottawa, Detroit, Florida have kind of worked their way back into this mess.
Yeah, I know. This is, we could honestly talk about this as a main topic on a pod. Like, there's that much to talk about, you know what
I mean?
And
we will next week probably, but we'll
just. Like, there's, I mean, we thought Florida was dead. And then they just started rattling off wins, and, they've been really good at home, which has helped lately. Buffalo, man, they just, Tage Thompson is just, all right, boys, hop on the back and we're going. And, Craig Anderson's been really good too.
He's really good lately. It's interesting. And this is something we are going to be talking a lot about in weeks to come. We just wanted to touch on it a little bit.
You look at the West, man, like it is literally like two, like Winnipeg and Seattle are in a wild card, and then there's Calgary and Nashville. I don't even know if Nashville's in it, man. Like it literally might be, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Seattle, Calgary for three spots. Seriously.
I think Nashville is over. Nashville is
about to be selling right now.
They're winning though. I mean, I don't care if they're selling. They're thinking about the future. I honestly think that right now it's
St. Louis full rebuild right now. Vancouver's a joke. Arizona, San Jose, Chicago. I don't know. Calgary's the only non-playoff team that has a chance.
And Nashville, I would say.
Nah.
And Seattle's 3-6-1 in their last 10. Losers of three straight. Oh man, yeah. There's teams diving right now. Edmonton hasn't been real great. Nobody's been really good. The only team really good is Colorado, and they've been just rolling. Minnesota's been pretty good lately. Dallas is hemorrhaging right now. They're just terrible.
They're losing to Vancouver right now. it's tough. So they're all shooting. Guess what the shots are in this game?
I don't know. Do I have to play?
34-14 for Dallas. Demko is just playing unbelievable. First game back since December 1st, too.
Who the hell's in goal for Dallas? It's let in four shots on 14. Four and
Ottinger. Bad.
It's Mark Schmidt-Neffer.
He's been bad.
Holy cow. That's crazy. Yeah. Well, let's
roll. Is there a better duo than Jacob Markstrom and the first shot on the goal of the game? Is there a better duo?
What are you talking about? Like a bet? Like
Jacob Markstrom.
Actually, there's a goalie in the league.
And letting in goals on the first shot.
He's let in seven of them this year, right?
Seven. And twice he's let in the first two shots.
Would you want to know something funny? He's not the worst in the league. There's a goalie that's let in eight first shots. Can you name him?
I have no idea.
Sergei Bobrovsky's let in eight first shots.
Really?
Yep.
Holy shit.
Yep, that's happening.
Even going back to Markstrom's Vancouver days.
So I'm going to probably going to catch flack for this, but I'm going to say it anyways. Jacob's Markstrom and his girlfriend had a baby today, which congratulations.
Yeah, maybe that's been on. Maybe the dad shrinks can get his game back.
I saw somebody on Twitter say, hey, maybe he'll get his game back now that his wife's, you know, and people were ripping him like, how can you say that?
That definitely could be a distraction. Okay. Though, but you got to stop the pot.
I'm a father of three kids, right?
Yeah.
My wife sent me a text message today and said, Markstrom had their baby. And it's healthy. Everything's good. Maybe he'll be able to focus on goaltending now and not worry. That is a worry of parents. It is a big worry. It's a life-changing event. Like, that's real. It's real. And it may be a factor.
Yeah, maybe the dad strength helps him out.
I don't know. Boston
Bruins. They
need it.
They need all the shit. They need all the help they can get.
They need a lot of help.
4-4 in Dallas here.
Boston Bruins forward Brad Marchand fined $5,000 for his actions. A dangerous trip against Oliver Bjorkstrand of the Seattle Kraken, and which this didn't wasn't really out of the ordinary for Brad Marchand, but I did find it interesting that he's been suspended 8 times, had 6 fines, has missed 28 games, and has forfeited $1.4 million plus in salary.
Yeah, he left the game in Edmonton. It looked like he got like at the back of his leg cut by Nurse.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, I don't know if that's like for sure. That's what it looked like, but it was kind of hard to see. But
yeah, you never know in those situations.
Yeah, you never know. But I have no idea.
So Craig Berube got a little bit honest this week, and he said, our players don't play with any passion, no emotion, and no inspiration at all. They don't play inspired hockey. You cannot play in this league without emotion, grit, being inspired. They're getting paid a lot of money, and they're not doing their job. End of story. And then his player, Robert Thomas, fired back and said, I've been part of this team for a long time. What he said couldn't be further from the truth. I know everyone in this room cares.
Yeah, that's expected from Thomas. I mean, he's going to back his teammates, right? He's kind of the leader for that bunch now. So,
but don't you think a coach is probably more right than the players?
I mean, a coach like Berube, who's been around the block and seen everything that you could possibly see, right? I mean, he's a great coach. You won a Stanley Cup with him in 2019 and or 2018, I guess. Or, 2019. He's honest. He's like Torts. Says it how it is. It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, and that game against Vancouver was terrible. Like, that was after they lost in overtime to Vancouver. It was terrible. They played awful.
Yeah. It doesn't look like they're trying.
No.
All right. We got to pick up the pace here. Spencer Knighthead's 2 player assistance program. We wish him the best. This one kind of caught me off surprise. And it's one of those things.
It wasn't drug related or anything. So I don't know what that could be. So I'm not sure.
They always say that, you know, they always say that. And I'm always like, well, okay. I don't know. I don't know. Predators, David Poile announced he'll be retired and Barry Trotz will be taking over.
That threw me off.
Didn't throw me off.
That Trotz is going to step. This guy, I thought he wanted to coach.
Barry Trotz has mentioned that he wants to be GM. He was the founding part of the founding group of the Predators.
I know.
This is perfect. This is perfect fit. Yeah. This is a match made in heaven.
Yeah.
It's a really good fit.
He doesn't have much experience, so it'll be interesting to see what happens.
You know, when I see the name David Poile, I think of one thing. I've always thought of a general manager that stays the course and does his job the correct way.
He's got balls. That guy's got balls.
You want to hear a funny story of him? One time he was walking through the mezzanine of the arena during a morning skate, and Shea Weber blasted a slap shot that hit off the post and flew over the glass and went through the tunnel and hit David Poile right in the head. Just KO'd him.
That's why he traded him to Montreal.
Speaking of which, that was traded from Vegas to salary this week.
By the way. I know.
One last thing to touch on before we get to 3 questions. DeAndre Miller spits on Drew Doughty. And then
DeAndre.
That's what I said. Okay, Andre.
You said DeAndre.
Oh, same thing.
Yeah, we got you.
Everybody knew who the hell I was talking about, right?
Yeah.
Then he comes out on social media today and said, I wanted to take a moment to address what occurred in last night's game. I have all the respect in the world for Drew Doughty, which I don't. And what happened was a complete accidental.
Oh, accident.
And then he says,
he literally stood him right in the face and spit a loogie on him.
He said, I would never intend to do something like that on purpose. It goes against everything I am as a person and a player. I felt awful about it, and I'm thankful Drew gave me the opportunity to apologize and explain myself in person after the game. I'm sorry, Blake. I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't standing right there. I have never
spit at him and spit on his face.
I have never accidentally spit on somebody. Have you ever accidentally spit on somebody?
No.
Never accidentally spit on somebody. And
like, maybe if he was spitting and Drew Doughty was skating by and it catches him.
But that's not what happened.
They were right here. I don't know. He needs to get a 3-game suspension. That's what Hathaway got for spitting. That should be the standard. He should get 3 games.
Yeah. I don't know how you accidentally spit.
That standard's already been set.
I'm going to make a bet he doesn't get anything.
He gets 3 games. Well, Hathaway got suspended for the last time for exact same thing.
You watch. He won't get anything.
Right. He's going to get 3 games.
You want to know one of the worst things I've ever seen in hockey? And I saw this in person. God, you might have been with me, Blake. I was doing color for a game. I might have been with you. Playoff game. The player takes his helmet off, spits on his eye tech, on his half shield, puts his helmet back on, shows the ref, and says
he got a game misconduct.
And he got a guy kicked out of the game.
Yeah.
He spit that. On his own freaking helmet. And yeah. got a guy kicked out for it.
Oh, that was bad.
That is bullshit.
Yeah.
God. Speaking of bullshit, let's get to 3 questions.
It's time for 3 questions.
All right. A little bit of changes, Blake. It's my turn to do 3 questions, and I'm going to ask you 3 questions. But this week, since it is trade deadline, came up with a little bit different scenario. I got 3 trades, and I want you to tell me which team says no.
Like actual trades?
No, just hypothetical trades.
Okay.
And you tell me which team says no. The first one is this. Winnipeg trades Neil Pionk, Logan Stanley, and Daniel Torgerson to Philadelphia in exchange for Ivan Provorov and James Van Riemsdyk with money retained on James Van Riemsdyk.
Oh, man.
Who says no?
I'm torn here because it would be hard to imagine that they would trade 2 defensemen. In one trade. Like
I agree on that one.
I don't know. Like, Logan Stanley's 6'7". He's young. He's tough. He's huge.
And Neil Pionk's been very good for them. But they're getting Ivan Provorov and James Van Riemsdyk.
I think Winnipeg says no.
Really?
I just can't see. Like, it's a fair trade, but, like, I don't know if they would do that. I don't know.
Okay, next one. Pittsburgh trades Tristan Jarry, Kasperi Kapanen, a 23 second round pick, and a 24.
Kasperi Kapanen plays for St. Louis.
I know. So that's... Okay, that was part of... When this was made, he didn't. Okay?
Okay.
A 23 second round pick and a 24 fourth round pick in exchange for John Gibson.
So Jarry, Kapanen, and a second and a fourth?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they would do that.
Who would do that?
I think
Anaheim says no. You think? Yeah, I think Anaheim says no. I think they can get more for John Gibson.
But, like, at the same time, like, I don't know. Like, his value is at an all-time high right now, too, so.
Yeah.
Like, he just had 350 save performances in the month of February, so.
I know, that's why I think they'd say no, because they'd be able to get more.
Yeah. Pittsburgh's got to do something.
Final one. Winnipeg trades their first round in this year to Montreal for Josh Anderson and a third round pick from this year.
To replace Dubois next year?
But they'd have him for this year, too.
Yeah. I could see both teams doing that.
I could see that one.
Anderson. I like Anderson as a player, and he's like a Dubois type. Dubois is probably going to Montreal. Like, that's probably set in stone. You can make a bet on that probably happen, but, I don't know. I think that's a good trade.
That'd be an interesting one. All right. Yeah. Listener question from Robert Kruk. What is one deadline move that you remember really paying off?
Well, this one's easy. Marion Gaborik, 2012 LA Kings.
Yep.
Led the playoffs in scoring, won a Stanley Cup. Another one is Brad Richards, 2015 Chicago Blackhawks. Jeff Carter, 2016 or 2017 Pittsburgh Penguins. Trying to think of one recently here. Well, I mean, Gaudreau and Coleman for Tampa.
You know, I thought of them right away. Another one that I thought of, and this goes back a little bit more because it was the most, I don't know, he just got a lot of press too. When Ray Bourque was traded now, they acquired Ray Bourque and Dave Vanderchuk. They didn't win that
2001
season.
2001, right?
But they won the next year, you know.
And That was a big deal.
That
Gaborik one was crazy. Like he.
Well, and then he went on to lead the playoffs in scoring. So that was just huge.
And they won the cup.
Yeah, that's huge.
So.
That's a huge one. That's really a good one.
Yeah.
That one really stands out.
Yeah.
Well, Blake, we got a busy week this week. It's NHL trade deadline week. Kind of one of our favorite weekends of the year, or weeks of the year. Usually it's on a Monday. This year it's on a Friday. We will be back for a live show next Friday night, 9 p.m., as Blake and I break down everything that happens on NHL trade deadline day, one of our favorite days of the year. Join us on Friday night if you can. Lots of hockey talk that night, and enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back Friday night. NHL trade deadline. Hockey talk every week on the Debate Hockey Podcast. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.